is The Guardian.
I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story.
Severe thunderstorms are barreling towards Brisbane, threatening to inundate thousands of homes.
Flooding has hit large parts of the east coast of Australia, from 3 hours north of Brisbane all the way down to Sydney.
Let me be very clear about this. This is like an unpredictable cyclone, and it is the levels that we have never expected or could never have been forecast.
At least 9 people have died, with more missing. Tens of thousands of homes are underwater, with the flooding taking many by surprise.
Yeah, just some harrowing interviews this morning from people in emergency situations there up on their roofs in that Lismore area. Take us through what's happening and what's known about how many people need to be rescued.
To be honest, Joe, I could not even begin to put a figure on that because nobody can get an estimate due to how severe the situation is.
One woman had to flee in the middle of a radio interview.
My feet are in the water. There's nowhere to go. Once we've got about another 6 inches and we're all, we're going to have to swim out. I don't know what we can do. Oh, and the fridge is just about to go. Oh, dear. Yes? People next door on the roof, we're going to have to somehow get on the roof. I'm sorry. Talking on the radio.
Are you going to be able to get on the roof, do you think?
We don't know. We don't know. We're going to try. Look, I'm going to have to go. This is getting serious now.
The main streets of some country towns have been replaced with large bodies of water, where jet skis and speedboats perform rescues of local residents en masse. Disaster payments have been announced for areas across New South Wales and Queensland, but in some places it's too early to think about the cleanup. The crisis is still unfolding. Today, how record-breaking floods hit New South Wales and Queensland. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of March. So, Ben, you are based in Brisbane. What has the past few days been like for you? What's going on for you right now?
We're pretty all right where I'm living because we're on the side of a hill, but obviously that means that anyone on the low side is in a bit of trouble.
Ben Smee is Guardian Australia's Queensland correspondent.
You know, I had went out first thing on Sunday morning, and by the time that I had come back in around lunchtime to try and file a story, I'd spent my morning kind of ferrying boxes from under a house for a couple who had unexpectedly flooded in underneath, helped a family sort of finish putting their sandbags out. I think there's probably a relatively few people who have had a good night's sleep around here, even if you haven't necessarily been flood affected, because people have been helping their neighbours to, you know, broom out water from under their homes.
Mm. If you looked outside your window right now, what can you see?
I can actually see sunshine.
No, I'm sure it's welcome news after the past week. So tell me about how this all started.
So it was about the middle of last week, probably around Wednesday when we started to have rain. There were certainly forecasts that there was going to be a lot of rain. The Bureau of Meteorology warned that an area of low pressure over the south coast of Queensland was dragging moisture in from the Coral Sea and then lifting it up over the coastline. But what actually happened was by Friday, the rain got heavy in that way that you think, oh, you know, geez, that's really, it's really coming down. And it stayed like that. You know, in Brisbane, we all have these tin roofs and you really hear it when it starts coming down. And what we had was probably, you know, 3 to 4 days of it was just heavy and consistent and there was a huge amount. There are two main dams and Wivenhoe that's the one that has the kind of the flood protection capacity to it, it started rising really rapidly. My colleague Graham Reedfern spoke to Professor Stuart Kahn, who's an expert on water management, water engineering at the University of New South Wales. And he said Wivenhoe Dam had inflows of about 1,450 million megalitres of water. That's about three Sydney harbours worth of water.
Right, I've read that compared to previous flooding in Brisbane in 2011, where it rained for about a week, this was just a lot of water in a much shorter period of time, about 3 days. What did that mean for how the flooding played out in Brisbane specifically?
I think the thing that we were, you know, perhaps lucky with here was that Wivenhoe Dam started at about 60% capacity. I mean, we're actually talking about water restrictions because of the lack of water in the dam. So the fact that it didn't start close to its 100% capacity like it did in 2011 is probably the thing that has really saved Brisbane from very, very severe, you know, worst case sort of flooding in this instance. But what we did see that we didn't see in 2011 were a lot of the creek systems simply not being able to cope with the volume of rain. So we have people who weren't expecting to be flooded because when they bought their properties or when they've done their research about their areas, they look at what happened in 2011. They look at what happened in 1974. And when you, and you know, there are some detailed maps that can show what happened to your property. And people considered themselves not really at risk of flooding simply because they didn't experience it in these, what were considered once in a lifetime events.
How widespread is the flooding in Brisbane?
It's been really, really widespread. They're estimating about 15,000 properties affected by the flooding. You know, the Brisbane River peaked at 3.85 metres on Monday morning, and that was below the 4.46 we experienced in 2011. But that still did mean that there were some low-lying areas like the CBD, like South Brisbane, like West End, that are on that river that ultimately did experience flooding when the river finally then peaked on Monday morning.
We are going to take you straight to the Brisbane River because, as we've seen all morning, there's been an incredible amount of debris, boats, pontoons still travelling down the river there.
I think anyone who has a kind of a good view of the river was saying that, you know, is every 5 minutes you're seeing something else floating down, so like a, you know, pontoon that broke off.
Again, so many pontoons and boats and debris still coming down the river. You can't believe that there is still that much to come. But
on Tuesday, there was a pontoon that was carrying a crane that was working near the Howard Smith Wharves, which are a sort of a newer entertainment precinct right on the river in Brisbane.
We were waiting here to do this cross to you, and a massive pontoon with its structure attached came by, and we all had to move back. We're at Mr. Percival's at Howard Smith Wharves. We all had to move back off the deck because it looked as if it was going, it was coming straight for us. And then just at the last minute, it kind of, you know, flipped around because the water is churning. It's so strong and lots of eddies and moving, and it just kind of.
There was one incident where a houseboat, and we were, there was a man actually on this houseboat, then crashed into one of the wharves and, you know, created quite a scene.
Oh, no. Oh!
Get up!
Yeah, I did see reporting that the man on the houseboat was actually saved by some onlookers.
Can you just talk us through that? Because you watched the whole thing unfold.
Yeah, we saw a gentleman in the water attached to, we had no idea what he was attached to, but there was a rescue boat out there trying to get to him. We sort of, a whole bunch of the team here all banded together. We jumped out on the terminal and were standing on some of the floating debris. And
so initially he went under, you lost sight of him?
Yeah, he hit something and he went under it, and then eventually we heard his voice come out. Yeah, we sort of all linked arms and we sort of held on to each other, and then we literally had to dig him out through the debris, and yeah, it was a little bit too Hollywood for us, so.
There have definitely been a few moments like that here when the debris has come and hit, and even this morning.
There have been a number of deaths in Brisbane. The most recent was a man in sort of the outer northern suburbs who was trying to walk across a flooded waterway and got into trouble.
Right, so that's the flooding in Brisbane. What about outside Brisbane, Ben? What's the most important stuff we need to know?
So I'm just here in the centre of Gympie. The water is still pretty high, but at least the river is subsiding.
Gympie, about 2 hours north of Brisbane, recorded its highest flood in a century. It was worse than 2011 there.
It's devastating. Like, you look at everything and you just, your eyes can see it, but the brain just doesn't compute that it's real. And you just look and you just put so much hard work into everything. It's just devastating.
The mayor of Gympie has said that it was really difficult to prepare for a sort of event like this.
Predicting what nature will do is like predicting the winner of the Melbourne Cup in 5 years' time. Just who knows? We were preparing for the worst-case scenario and we were hoping for the best-case scenario, but as it's turned out, you know, we've had significant rainfall. And it is what it is.
There were two deaths in Gympie as well. There's been one on the Sunshine Coast hinterland, a state emergency service worker who died while trying to rescue a family at Kalana, which is west of Ipswich.
Mm. How deadly have these floods been overall in Queensland, Ben?
At the time of recording this, so Tuesday morning, there have been at least 8 deaths, and there are still quite a few people who are missing and who police and emergency services have pretty grave fears for. But this is obviously just in Queensland. So by Sunday night, around a midnight on Monday morning, the rain stopped. That provided some real respite for people who were in Brisbane. But what happened is that the storm system that had been dumping that rain then just started to move down the coast.
The same system is lashing Queensland. It's moving south, forcing Lismore residents on the New South Wales north coast to evacuate immediately.
So by Monday, that crisis had hit the lower parts of the Gold Coast and northern New South Wales, and in particular Lismore, which is a country town in the northern rivers of New South Wales and has a population of about 43,000.
As major flooding approaches the town, locals in the south, they were told to leave by 10 p.m. on Sunday. People in the CBD also must leave by 5 a.m. Monday before floodwaters reach.
Next, the town of Lismore underwater.
Hello, Christine.
Hello. My name's Christine Tondorf. I'm a freelance journalist. I'm based in northern New South Wales, about 15 kilometres east of Lismore, and I've lived in the region for 15 years.
And how would you describe the past 24 hours for you and the people you know?
We had heard that there was a rain bomb over Brisbane and it was travelling our way. I woke in the early hours of Sunday morning and the rain was here, and then the rain was pretty much torrential all day Sunday. A park at the end of my street became a lake. My garden wasn't draining. I was fearful that it was going to come in my laundry. The rain was savage and I had never seen rain like that.
So, Christine, I'm speaking to you on Monday afternoon, and this morning Lismore's levee was breached and the nearby Wilson's River rose to 14.37 metres, which is the highest level ever recorded. What have you heard about how this morning played out in town?
We heard right from the onset that people had been caught out. They just weren't prepared for this, could not possibly have anticipated that floodwaters were coming that were going to be 2 metres higher than anything the town had ever seen. We were hearing that people were trapped. They were trapped in roofs. They were trapped in ceiling cavities. My town is between Ballina and Lismore. So this morning I was seeing people with boats, tinnies, fishing tinnies, driving into Lismore to take part in the rescues. I've interviewed two people who were out in those waters today in tinnies helping to rescue people. The first person I spoke to was John Vanderstock, and he got a phone call from an old friend, a man who was in the second story of his home, an older man standing on a stepladder about to get into the roof cavity. And the man who owned the jet ski got the jet ski on the car, drove in, got in the floodwaters. His jet ski propeller hit debris. His jet ski was barely functioning. He went to the older person's house. Fortunately, he had already been rescued. But he told me he saw people waving out of windows, people on roofs, wanting to be rescued. The best he could do was direct the other boats in the water and tell them he was seeing people who wanted to be rescued. He told me that, yes, the emergency personnel were there, but there was perhaps 20 private boat owners to every one rescue craft. I think there was some confusion as to whether or not they wanted private boat owners to go in. Initially, there were call-outs on social media. Later, the SES was saying, please don't bring your boats in. The first person who I interviewed, he estimated that there were perhaps 200 to 300 boats in the floodwaters of Lismore today rescuing people.
Why were so many people trapped and kind of caught unawares by the flooding?
Another interview I did today was with someone who lives in North Lismore. He said that people, you know, went to bed. They've never been flooded. Never in their wildest dreams would they have thought flood water would be pouring into their homes in the morning. But that's what Lismore woke to. That's what so many people woke to. And he woke at 5 a.m. Water was pouring into his house. He had his tinny tied up outside because he had anticipated waking to floodwater surrounding his elevated home, but it was pouring into his home. He couldn't do anything for his home. And as he was evacuating his household of six, he was already seeing people in his street on roofs, but also banging inside ceiling cavities trying to get out because people climbed up into their ceilings anticipating they'd be safe, but the water kept rising. So he heard people banging on the roof, using an angle grinder, trying to get the tin off because the floodwaters were rising around them, trying to get out. He went over with his boat. He already had six people in that boat and they helped that family rip the tin off, and another rescue boat came and they're safe. I spoke to him, you know, just after four, and he had been going the whole day. He had rescued 16 people and five dogs, and he was having a break, but he may yet go back and continue rescuing. And then tonight he's sleeping at a friend's house because his house is now unlivable.
These are really scary stories, really. Do you know if everyone survived?
For everyone in northern New South Wales, they're frightening stories because we want to hear that everyone got out. That's what we want to hear. But, of course, we're fearful that there's going to be loss of life, and we don't know to what extent. We don't know how many people will be lost, but, of course, we're hoping for the best. We're hearing stories on the Facebook page of Lismore. People were actually putting up posts saying, I'm a mum with two kids and two dogs. Can someone please come and get me? I'm at this address. I'm in my roof cavity. Can you please come and get me? The community is rallying, but at the same time, I think a lot of us just feel so shocked to see floodwaters that, you know, have exceeded all records and basically exceeded everyone's memories of what's come before.
Does it feel like this area has just been hit by multiple disasters in a very short period of time? And what has that been like?
Look, it definitely feels like this area has been hit by multiple disasters. You know, it was impacted by bushfires in 2019. We had the 2017 Lismore floods. And, you know, also remember that even during the pandemic at the start of this year, Byron Bay, which is just, you know, north of Lismore, had one of the highest rates of COVID infections in January. So it does feel unrelenting. It feels exhausting. And yes, the people in this region are tired, but they're rallying and doing their best.
That was Christine Tondorf, a freelance reporter based outside of Lismore, and earlier, Ben Smee, Guardian Australia's Queensland correspondent. An update on this story since we recorded: the body of an elderly woman has been found inside a home in Lismore. She is the ninth flood death nationally and the first death in northern New South Wales. Flooding has also hit the northern New South Wales town of Ballina, and flash flooding is also expected in parts of Sydney and other New South Wales districts as the severe weather system moves south. This is a rapidly moving story, so you can get the latest updates at theguardian.com, where there's a live blog following the floods. You can also read Christine's story on Aidan Ricketts and his rescue efforts in Lismore. It's titled Lismore Flood: Man Saves 16 People and 5 Dogs After Losing His Own Home. We've linked to that on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Laura Briley-Newton, Zoe Victoria, Joe Koning and Carla Arnold. Sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. The executive producers of Full Story are Gabrielle Jackson, Miles Martignoni and me, Laura Murphy-Oates. OK, catch you tomorrow.